ladies and gentlemen, your hosts here, Joe Lopez, Jabbar Harrison, Zach Simony. We're going to bring you another great episode. And it isn't just a duo this week, it's a trio. It's a trio. The whole cast is back. And we'll start it off like we did last week, talking about Mr. Joe being booed up in San Diego.
I was not booed up.
What
in
the world? What are you going to San Diego with?
My girlfriend.
Exactly.
I had to. For all the listeners out there that have girlfriends, you know how it is.
They're expensive.
And then on the trip, you plan everything. I'm down to do whatever you want. Disneyland? Oh, we'll drive an hour and a half, 2 hours. That's cool. You want to go to the beach? Oh, that's fine. I'll pay for everything? Oh, okay.
Well, let's just say San Diego will happen down the road, and we'll not just the game. The street team will be out there.
Yeah, beautiful city. All the people I met on Mission Beach, holla.
The Brazilian that I should have met, holla on me. Holla on me. Put them on profile.
Brazilian.
No. But everyone out there, if you listen to us, I know we got a lot of people from Arizona that listen to us. Mesa, Arizona is our top-ranked city from Google Analytics, obviously, because we are based from Mesa, but we do get a lot of good traffic. It's beautiful right now, isn't it, guys? Starting right now outside, I just feel like I could go do a little light jog. Don't have to go to the gym anymore and do a jog.
You might get hit by a snowbird, though.
A little more hurt, though. They'll be gone about 15, 45.
Exactly. Well, it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks before they get down here.
Newsflash, it's 25 miles an hour speed limit on our streets. Not 25. This isn't the East Coast. Yeah. At least go 45. That's the worst thing going on.
They probably start to come down from Minnesota right about now. Minnesota. But it'll totally take them 2 to 3 weeks to get down here. Who knows? How many times do you think they stop at a hotel and stuff when they're coming down?
Every other hour.
Go to the bathroom and refill their coffee cup at McDonald's because it's free refills.
No, that's when the business is going to pick it up.
And the senior drink.
The business is going to pick up 10% senior discounts at all Mesa restaurants. 20% discount.
They'll be living in the trailers on the golf course. Right there, all the way from baseline.
Oh, man. Speaking of that, remember the old-timers last year when we were golfing on Greenfield Lakes?
Oh, the Jurassic Park guy?
Yeah.
Come on. Where are you from when there's four people over the age of 80 years old and they're all going to walk on a par on a, what was it, an 80?
Yep.
Of course, they're walking.
And they're slowing our ass up. So
we try to jump them. Yeah, we try to jump because we can't wait. We're impatient. We have ADD. Let's face facts.
You're not 80.
Yeah. And then he yelled at us something. I can't even remember what it was, but it was kind of funny.
But bastards.
Their golf course will make a grip off them out here, though, so they gotta get their money from them. Was it $2,500 for a pass or something like that?
Something.
And the winners. We do have really good golf courses out here, though. Other things going on, obviously Halloween a week and a half away. You know how we do. We always do costumes last minute. Know you guys have something in your head, but not going to spend nothing, but it's going to be something.
I always like putting my costume together. 2 years ago, we did the Mafia theme.
Oh, yeah.
Which went over well with the ladies, had the big stogie in my mouth, and the Adidas jumpsuit down with the White Air Force Ones. Last year I did the cholo.
Oh yeah,
that went over well. I don't know if I really do that.
We were OJ and Johnny Cochran. That was something else.
It's not better than putting glue on your face with a fake mustache.
That's what it was. Oh, that was funny as hell though. Jabbar, what about you? What are you looking at this year, probably?
Might be Kimball Slice.
Ooh, Slice. Nice on the mic.
Ronnie from Jersey Shore.
Ronnie, how are you going to pull that off?
I'm not going to have a Sammy, though. You want to find me a Sammy. Maybe the Ronnie.
Hey, all
right.
You got to say bro every other word.
Yeah, no, it ain't rules. I do that, right?
Is that okay? Can I be friends with her?
Do the dance
friends with her?
No.
Am I her friend?
If you're going to be Kimball Slice, you need some of Zach's facial hair that he's growing.
Hey, this is the short term.
Let's
short term.
Cut it and patch it on. It's been about 4 or 5 days. I grew a nice little beard out.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, my idea is, I was first going to be John Jolly, then I was going to be Fred Brown.
John Jolly Leaning. I still say he sticks with Fred Brown.
Fred Brown. But
not Tiger Woods.
I could do that easily.
Or Fred McAfee.
I could do that easily if a white woman here would just.
Devour it!
No, but I think I'm gonna be Ed from Good Burger. I got the shirt, I got the cap, I'm gonna get the little Jamaican hat.
Oh,
I'm gonna go to Fine & Dine and get the little hat. Bam, not gonna cost me a thing. Then I'm gonna go,
Welcome to Gettysburg. Oh, welcome to Gettysburg. Can I take your order? Ah, I love your show.
Who loves so much soda? I'm gonna be. That's gonna be a hit too.
I like Ed.
Ed from Gettysburg.
Do that.
Speaking of, where can I get that Jamaican style hair? That might throw me off.
Have you seen that in there? Just get Jamaican hair and cut the dreads. Then you have long or find Jamaican and cut his hair.
No, I think that would be a good hit. Because back in the day, that was one of my favorite shows. Then there was something about it watching it the other night. I was like, man, I got a shirt like that and I got khakis. Why not? I'm going to go find him down and get that little hat.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they got it everywhere.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going to do.
Hats like that either.
You guys got cool ideas. I want something.
Think of something, man. Just watch TV. It always sparks.
Good situation. You might be too tall.
Well, we're going to go ahead and jump into the show. We're just going to, hopefully you guys are entertained a little bit, but we are regular guys as well, but we do focus on fantasy sports. That is our number one hobby besides getting women.
In general.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. That was an interesting thing. But we're going to do some quick hits. A couple of segments here. Obviously, the big thing of discussion today in the Twitter land
is the Bears suck.
We can talk about the Bears anytime, but let's put them. Let's let them go on a 3D 4 game.
Let's put them on the back burner. We'll talk about them last. Go ahead.
But the bone crushing hits that we've been seeing.
I love them.
We grew up on it. Rodney Harrison, even Rodney Lott when we were real little.
Greg Lloyd,
John Lynch. Those guys played for years.
Even Singletary, old school.
Singletary, linebacker, safety. That's what they do. Isn't it what it was supposed to be? If you come over the middle, you're not supposed to because you're going to get drilled.
Oh, yeah.
And now, how's this going to change the game?
Receivers, you need a big sack to go over the middle. I think Keyshawn was the last one to actually go over the middle consistently.
Yeah. I think he's getting a little too conservative with these hits. I mean, I understand Mayweather's fine.
Yeah.
We all launch into someone's head.
Yeah.
That was the dumbest part. But DeSean Jackson, that's just a good hard hit.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're on the zone, don't run through the zone and keep running and run into the...
The safety corner licking his chops be sitting in his zone.
His goal is to separate you from the ball.
And he caught him over the ball late, too.
Exactly.
And the thing is, you in the NFL, you're supposed to use your speed. And they're saying a player can't launch themselves. They're trying to stop the guy from getting the first down.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what are you supposed to do? Just let him run up down the sideline, try to chase him instead of launch him?
So the offensive player's running 100 miles an hour, 100%, and what's the defensive guy? Got to go 65?
He's off.
You know what? Let him follow the knee and get the first down.
Yeah. I just think they're making it too much of an offensive advantage. We see all the illegal blocks from the offensive line, receivers, tight ends.
You can't have the quarterback. You sack him too hard.
I agree with some of the quarterback rules because right now you got half the league pretty much injured at quarterback, so it's kind of good that they have that, because there were some quarterbacks taking some brutal hits a few years ago, but when you just make it as all over the field, I mean, that's too hard to do from a defender standpoint.
But I mean, the quarterbacks when we were little, like Steve Young, or Troy Aikman, they'd get a concussion, and they're back a couple plays later, as bad as that was. But there was none of this, excuse my language, this pussiness going around.
So you have backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So you have backups in every position. You are going to get hurt for a game or two, maybe, and then backers
was
coming in there.
But where's
the bowler?
Those guys are still hitting hard then. How come there wasn't the big buzz like there is now about suspensions and fines? It was okay then. All of a sudden, because Goodell's in there.
It's like Matt Mullen saying, it's not the NFL anymore. What do you call it, guys? What do you call it?
So I wear pink jerseys. It's called the
hard two-man touch league. Guess what it is?
Oh, man.
National two-man touch league.
Swear today saying that. I would just go out there and play two-hand touch on Sunday.
They should.
To make a statement.
That's what's looking like out there.
And they're saying devastating blow. What's a devastating blow?
It's only second.
When you sack a quarterback from behind and blindside him and his body goes into a seizure and the ball pops out?
Do you think the rule or this new way they're laying it out is more of a general thing or is it too broad? It's like when your parents tell you something. You know what it actually means.
That's what I mean.
You want to interpret it.
That's what I'm saying.
You want to interpret it at a higher meaning than it actually is. So maybe we're thinking too much of it. It's like they said, there's like 5 or 6 hits that are questionable out of 1,000 every week. So, what do you think that leads to?
I think they're being a little too broad. There's only really one bad hit all week I saw. It was Brandon Merriweather. That's one where I'm like, okay, fine. If I saw live, I'm like, oh, what an idiot. That's fine. That's 15 yards. Some other ones.
Jerome Harrison was I don't think they know. Both, I mean,
Chairs
don't come across. It was at a 5 yard, and he caught the ball in this. And he, the ball in his hands, took a step.
Yep,
he gotta take the ball in his hand or something. It's supposed to separate him from the ball. It's not about him get a catch and then gently take him down the ground so he gets 6 yards on you. No, it's to send a message, take a big hit, so next time over the middle, he alligator arms it or something.
That's 5 yards over the middle, too.
You're going to get popped by a linebacker 5 yards over the middle.
Exactly.
You're going to get hit. That's kind of where they hang out at.
So when do you think this rule is going to make an adverse effect?
I think they might start calling little petty stuff for the next few weeks. But when it comes late in the season, the postseason, I think they're a little ease off it, the refs. The refs don't really want to be caught up in this. But these next few weeks, though, watch out for it. I think you're going to start seeing these flags come out. Because they're going to want to, you know, their foot on something.
Jabbar, what do you think about the everyone saying that the NFL, that they don't have fundamentals anymore, that they're just trying to go for the big blow?
Some situations, guys are, but the running backs are bigger now than they were in the 70s. It was the 70s, there's about 3 or 4 big backs. They were running bull all the time. Earl Campbell, look at his highlight film. He's breaking tackles left and right. Where are the fundamentals at? Guys have always been breaking tackles throughout history. I mean, more guys are going for the big hits, but...
When do you fundamentally tackle somebody? When do you try to drive the ball loose?
If the guy's kind of stumbling or someone has a hand on him, then you come in there, you blow him up. But if the guy's running an open field, he's kind of, you feel that if you break down, you can get a good tackle on him, then you do it. If he's stumbling through the line or he's flying past you, this is a spur of the moment. Like, when the guy's coming at you, it's a spur decision you make in your mind. How am I getting him down? And you go and do it. Sometimes you have to try to blow him up. Sometimes you can break down and just get him.
Just like you said, even the past 10, 15 years, everything is notched up exponentially. Physicality level, speed, verticals, size, everything, whatever they're on, it's just changing the game. And so they've got to change something to keep these players safe.
If it's in the backfield, I think you go more for the firm tackle. Because help should be coming if you miss them. But once they get off past the line of scrimmage, anything goes. Like the backfield, okay, yeah, me working on them, get more of a, that's what I have to do. Like if I had got in the backfield, running back just getting a carry, he's not full speed yet, so he can break down to a fundamental tackle. Once he gets going full speed, you really can't sit there and break down. He's going to run you over.
Yeah.
I mean, look at
or did you got that?
They're just going to go in there and just run you over. So, in the backfield, yeah.
Can they ever do anything with equipment? Because I know they're doing concussion-proof helmets. And they look like motocross helmets with a face mask.
I don't think that stuff helps, really. I mean, if you can hit hard, if you drop a bell wrong, you're belling me wrong. Helmet helps only a little bit. And the padding, not really. It's something you can do.
When you play, did you have your bell rung on a weekly basis?
A few times. Not a weekly basis, but there's a few times.
You were on the defense. But I mean, like your teammates.
On offense, yeah. I mean, the guys get their bell rungs. So your ball too high from the quarterback, receiver 104. We came down and got blown up.
Matt Leinart syndrome.
Oh,
exactly.
Or running back. Matt Leinart. So you come down in the box. I mean, guys get every week. You see it both sides of the ball. Your team gets them, and you give them out to their team. That's just how it is.
I think we're at pretty much a high point, too, this leading to safety. We're at a high point in injuries. If you look at every team, I mean, injuries are usually take their toll, but this year they're just killing teams right now. Yeah, Green Bay and Indianapolis having to maybe not make the playoffs now if their injuries keep
up. Some of the injuries are more freak injuries. I mean, the Packers ones, Barnett's and Finley's, they're just, that's just going to happen. Yeah. I mean, Finley has just tackled somebody on the interception.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just going to happen. There's not as many injuries. Look at the injuries from, like, people getting blown up. You know, it's pretty much the same every year. It's going to go up slightly every year, but it's about the same number.
What do you think is going to happen if they had 2 more regular season games?
Oh, just more of them.
Oh, they're going to be way more.
Yeah.
And you know they're going to do everything they can so they get the most money out of the NFL.
Make millions.
Because what was the numbers this week? The Monday Night Football Titans Jaguars outdrew Cliff Lee in Yankee Stadium? Are you serious?
The numbers kill every sport. I mean, the Hall of Fame game between Dallas and Cincinnati this year had the same brains about as the NBA Finals. That's preseason. That's Hall of Fame game. Started playing maybe 2 series.
That's crazy. So
football, I just can't believe
how many other sports.
But they should just stick to 16 games.
Yeah, if anything, maybe extend the postseason, maybe.
Add a team or two.
Add extra week. Give everybody, after the season ends, give everybody a bye week.
Right.
And then start, you know.
Evaluate people like the Cardinals with Max Hall. You have to start 2 games.
If Max Hall has those 2 preseason games, people, they wouldn't even trust him right now.
He's getting play time about a third or fourth preseason game.
Ooh. So. But one thing I do want to mention, we need to mention this more, is the email address. Email us questions, comments, feedback. We'll be out of every article, but make sure you're emailing us not just a game, 23@gmail.com.
We'll have a weekly email segment.
Hopefully next year we're sponsored by somebody that can get us on air.
Russ Bliss. We want to touch with you guys.
Russ Bliss, we're taking over your show. Oof. Another base hit. We're watching the baseball playoffs right now, San Francisco and Philly. It's not looking good for Philly.
Giants Rangers in the beginning.
Yeah. But I do want to touch on the bye week teams. This week, four teams, one more time. Then next week, I think it's the finals, right? The last six teams are going to have the bye weeks. So we got Detroit, Indy, Jets, and Houston this week. A lot of offensive firepower you're going to have on your bench this week. Where can you make that ground? Stay tuned 20 minutes from now when we tell you some sleeper starters.
Because we got some good ones this week. Talk about team that needs it. Teams on the injury list.
Mike Hart was about to start.
He runs hard tonight, he doesn't have any great physical tools, so he gets the most out of it.
Was that the running back in Michigan?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good in college, but
if you run hard, that's all you need. You'll break tackles all day. But NFL, running hard is just not really enough without physical tools.
Yeah. I texted Zach after that big Joey Adai game. Yeah. Said it's his best game in his career. What happened? Out.
At least it's just a shoulder injury. He'll be back. He'll probably be back by the bye week, after the bye week. What is it, though? I just got to do one more thing about that. Just a higher rule of thumb that's going on, because you got the NBA adjusting everything right now, the NFL. You think it's just there's new rules before the lockout to get more money, or what's going on?
I know the head injuries is a big thing now about concussions. That's like a big thing this offseason with all sports. They're going to monitor concussions. Because, if you can address in the NFL, it's going to trickle down to the lower levels. Because the NFL makes a rule, it goes down to college, then high school, and Pop Warner.
And concussions are so much more devastating than a torn ACL.
Yeah. But they're just taking everything away, the celebrations, that's the NBA, you have to wear suits and certain formal attire every time now. You can't talk
to the ref. I like the suits because it makes it more businessy.
Yeah. But there's a lot of things going on in the NBA that weren't even happening 2-3 years ago. But it's a topic we'll probably rant on it later on, but we're going to move on to one of the crazy topics. I mean, there's injuries always happening, but the tight ends that are hurt right now is at a staggering rate right now, and they're for the elite tight ends. You got Antonio Gates, Chris Cooley, Dallas Clark was on a bye week, Jermichael Finley.
Finley. Tell me about tight ends.
These guys
Finley's out for the year.
Yep.
These guys are out, hurt, or whatever's going on. Chris Cooley, he was out all last year, and now he's injured again. So do you think Fred Davis, who they've had high hopes for before, but he's had consistency issues, do you think he's a good start this week?
No. I think Cooley's going to play. They're going to force him out of the field.
Also, Fred Davis, he had about 6 touchdowns last year.
He's inconsistent.
Not doing much.
And McNabb loves the tight ends, too. Yeah.
Well, I think Davis can be a sleeper.
The thing with some other players, you don't know how their offseason workout is. Like, some guys, had a good year, like, oh, I'm going to rest on that. I'm a good player already. They don't feel the need to get better. If you don't get better every year, you're getting worse.
Exactly.
So if you don't offseason, like, oh, I did good this year. Oh, should I work out this morning? No, I did good last year. I'll sleep in today. I'll do it tomorrow. That just adds up.
Even when he stepped in for Cooley, he's looking slow on all his routes.
Yeah.
You saw that game.
And then out in San Diego, you've got the issue of the Cardinals syndrome going on there. They don't get the right guy signing Vinny Jackson. They go Legarde to die back on Floyd. We're now hurt now. Antonio Gates is hurt. So now they're looking at Craig Davis and Patrick Creighton. How pissed off is Phillip Rivers right now?
That line.
He's always popping and crying. I love
how pissed off is you being?
I think some of those guys can come back this week. I mean, Gates, he's always played on Sundays, even with the bad toe in the past.
Bad ankle
here and there.
But
he plays.
An 80% Gates.
It's still
tight end. They probably put him on and gave him the red zone.
Yeah. You got to limit him, obviously.
Yeah, but
the big thing was that line. They got McNeil back last week.
Yeah.
And his first time playing all year, he looked a little rusty. I mean, the St. Louis Rams, line was all over Rivers. He was sacked a season high about 7 times.
Yep.
So they get that off the line fixed.
They just got to run the ball more.
Good thing about them is they're only one game behind the division leader. Right,
they're going to win that division.
The Chiefs are fading.
They're going to win that division.
Yeah, the Chiefs are a young team. I like the Chiefs. Like I said, I also like Tampa Bay. They're too young right now.
It might be like the NFC 7-19 wins that division.
No,
8-8
The Chargers are going to finish 10-6. Yes.
Is that kind of division?
Zach said the Broncos are going to win the division. That's all I got to say.
I still think they can do it.
They fit every year.
2-4
One game away. They're a one division team. The defense is not really that nothing special.
That's what I'm saying.
Run go run game.
They're in a division with those deficiencies.
The Chargers are a better football team. They're going to win the division.
Even the Chiefs are a better team than
Denver. Who has a better coach in the division? Denver Broncos.
Who's the best quarterback though?
Well, these coordinators are,
I mean, Chuck Watson.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I mean,
they're not great coaches.
Whoever wins that division, it's going to be a rough go for the playoffs.
What is the basis of Jack McDaniels being a good coach? What has he won? That's his team. You can't get a running game.
What's he won?
It doesn't matter what he's won.
He's a good fancy passing game. Yeah, he's a passing game coordinator. That's what he does in New England. I'm looking at Denver. They have a nice passing game. That's all they are. From 20 to 20, they get down there like that.
Speaking of that, they got Ron on that pass interference.
No, that was legit.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez threw up a Hail Mary on 4th and 8.
I'll give you that, but that was face mask a penalty.
It was incidental.
It doesn't matter, though.
That's like in the NBA where a guy's shooting a 3 and tries to draw a foul.
Stop the NBA talk.
You got to compare it to professional sports.
But nobody who intentionally grabbed a face mask.
He did intentionally.
No, I'm saying. You said, it was unintentional. Nobody intentionally grabbed a face mask in football. You have to call it.
I mean, they got bailed out.
Sometimes, as a quarterback, how many times got bailed out?
That is his usual.
Sometimes coming here running, and the defense guy sacks him, but he actually got some face mask. It's 15 yards.
You just don't see that in the 4th and 8 from a quarterback.
He got some face mask. I don't understand. If that kid's hand
wasn't going to catch that ball.
He might have. His head turned. The ball's in the air.
Your head turns?
You can't argue with Zach. He's like
obsessed over Denver.
Yeah.
No, I'm not obsessed over Denver. I'm a Miami
fan. Shirt on a bed?
I'm an obsessed with Denver. They're a good team with me.
So they're not a good team.
They're not a good team.
They're 20 passing offense. They're from a 20 to
20. They're all better record than the Bears.
Why are you wrong to everything this? I think the Dolphins are a worse record than both of them.
Yeah.
How about that, Zach?
No way.
No way.
Down this week. Hey, my predictions are already over you guys right now.
Let's go through that. Our predictions.
We're not going to touch on that yet. That's going to be the last segment. But let's go over a couple more hot topics. We really don't want to talk about it. We're going to have to. Arizona Cardinals versus the Seahawks. Both are 3-2. One of these teams is going to be 4-2. Can you believe that?
I guess so. I guess someone has to be 4-2.
That's insane.
They should tie. That's what the...
In Seattle will own the tiebreaker on the Chicago Bears.
Were you... You are his anti-everything, man. I don't ever realize he got this one.
No, but you know what? Seahawks are actually doing some good things. Their defense is playing well.
No, they're playing well against the run. Yeah, they're top five. Pass.
Yeah, they're playing well on a rushing attack. That's what jumped them up in the lead stats.
They play great at home with that 12th man. I mean, this is just poor. These are poor teams, but you have to look at some sort of qualities. Marshawn Lynch.
Matt Hasselbeck.
He did go to a Super Bowl a few years ago.
Yeah, a few years ago. He was still somewhere. Yeah. Wife on the His sister in
law. Oh, that's what he's
Go ahead, yeah. Sandra.
I mean, breaking down this game, do you think the Cardinals have the edge?
I do.
I like the Cardinals' defense, the way they looked against the Saints. I mean, they're not consistent yet, their defense, but after a
bye week. They're getting Joe back, aren't they?
Reston and Anderson should be back.
So I love our drafted receivers this week. Yeah, they had nice core. It's the core they wanted. Preston, Fitzgerald, and Doucette. That's what they're banking on. These guys went down.
Are they going to be able to hide a rookie quarterback, though?
That's the Seahawks, currently 6-point favorites.
I know, and I love Arizona's upset special coming out of the bye week.
Yeah.
I mean, they saw an NFL team coming out of the bye week.
If they can run the ball, they should have. I think it could be a good game for them. But Max Hall, as long as they don't keep it in his hands. What I saw
The hell's you have Fitzgerald and guys out there, and that's going to help any quarterback. Yeah. Derek Anderson with a decent preseason throwing these guys. God, no, he sucks.
Do you think Larry Fitzgerald's fantasy value is going to come back up, or is he just going to be a bottom tier? He's going to be one of those first round busts and finish in the top 25,
20 to 25. Draft him in the first round anyway.
Yeah, that's sure. Yeah.
Knowing that he didn't have Kurt Warner.
Yeah, most people probably did. Whoever went after receiver, or he was a top three receiver.
I don't know if we're talking about second rounds. I keep starting him because you have so much invested in him. Yeah. But
I myself got him in the late second or middle second.
So you've been disappointed. I mean, it depends on the league. Not many receivers get taken in the first round, but the top three receivers taken, he was more than likely one of those guys.
So our league got three receivers, so it doesn't hurt with starting them.
You've been working that waiver wire, haven't you?
Yeah.
Exactly. Who have you had to pick up because of Larry Fitzgerald?
Either Denaro Alexander or
the week.
So you're hunting on that waiver wire, like you're going up north.
Get lady 1 week. We got me like 10 points up, so that helped.
Oh man, that's not good. But I mean, let's transition out of that subject because these teams suck. The Seahawks let Deion Branch go. We talked about Deion Branch.
Where did that come from?
Being a waiver wire pickup, and look what he's doing for New
England. Where did that Deion Branch? What do you have? 90 yards?
Yep.
Touchdown?
The Deion
didn't use him right. Seattle didn't use him right, obviously.
And he was hurt a lot, too.
Yeah, he was all banged up. Hit those lime gloves. That can't help your game. he was always banged up. And then he's more of a quick slant or, in routes kind of guy that gets him yak. Where Seattle wanted to be this big threat playmaker because they pay him so much money.
Exactly.
But I figured we got him in this big playmaker role. That's not him. It's more of a get the ball in his hands and then he'll create some magic.
And quietly, Pete Carroll. This team might not do much this year, but he's setting up the team to have a lot of cap space. Got rid of Deion Branch's salary, TJ Houshmandzadeh's salary.
Mike Williams is playing pretty well.
Playing dirt cheap. What's he getting? $300K?
I three and something. Yeah, I'm getting $265.
Unbelievable. So he's creating some cap space. Who knows what he's going to end up doing? I mean, they got Marshawn Lynch for dirt cheap. What did they trade him for? Fourth round pick or something like that?
Yeah.
BS.
So they're getting away with those financial moves right now. But Deion Branch, do you think that he's just going to be able to keep doing this?
I think he's going to be like running backs. He's going to be receiver by committee. One week, Deion Branch out of the big game. Next week, Wes Welker. Next week, Edelman.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Tight ends.
Well, Edelman's hurt right now. He just got re-injured.
It's becoming a tight end offense in New England. They're using those two tight ends a lot to get down the field in the red zone, looking like throwing that Deion Branch.
But they are. That's a total system up there in New England. So I think it's going to be similar to what the Denver Broncos are doing. Those receivers are going to be able to catch. So Deion Branch, 9 catches. That was the most phenomenal stat. 9 catches equals Randy Moss's season total for New England when he was with the Patriots.
Well, Moss at this point of his career is only going deep. That's all. He's going to run out of field.
You see an alligator arm in against the Packers on an easy Brett Favre touchdown?
Yeah.
How many times have you made that catch?
So you're saying Randy Moss's fantasy value is dropping by the
way? No, he's going to get you a touchdown. I mean, Moss, they're going to throw him about 90 times deep. He's going to catch 3 of them, get you 70 yards on touchdown. That's about 14
points. You said that when a trade happened.
He gets you about 14 points every week.
Yeah.
He got, 16 in his first game. He got about 9 last week.
Mm-hmm.
He can get you 14, 15 every single week.
Any other key injuries you guys want to know them? Some fantasy owners out there? No?
I see people with injured players still starting. I mean, I know it's Wednesday, but yeah, change that. I mean, check your team.
Yeah, one other thing we do want to let owners know, people that had Willis McGahee, they probably were worried last week that he didn't even dress and didn't play in the game. From sources, they're stating that Baltimore did not want to risk injury because they were seeking to trade him before the deadline. He did not get traded, so he will be back to his old role. So he'll get those goal line carries, about 6 or 10 carries a game.
Like him.
But that was kind of crazy seeing him not out there. Kind of crazy. Let's spotlight the rookie quarterbacks real quick. You got Sam Bradford doing extremely well. I mean, his accuracy has been phenomenal.
Coming into the season, I said he's like the most accurate quarterback. And watching him at Oklahoma, I said he's the most accurate quarterback since Peyton Manning. I mean, he's just proven every week.
He's doing it with no-name receivers.
Yeah.
That's the best part of it.
And a not-so-great offensive line.
Yeah, starting Alexander and Amendola for the most part.
And give praise to their head coach, Stephen Jackson. That guy's been playing his tail off. the last few years, and he's really providing a spark for that young quarterback, Sam Bradford. But then you've got Colt McCoy and Jimmy Clausen.
They both
Clausen's not even playing. Jimmy Clausen gets re-benched for how bad he is playing.
It's because Fox is out in the hot seat. He wants to win now, so it looks good on his resume for another job.
Why did he even start in week two after
maybe had a bad pressure from his boss above him? Maybe
that
looked like crap.
Well, you know Clausen's not going to do any better, and he didn't. And
why
did he leave him out there?
Well, watching Clausen, he just... isn't ready yet.
Was he just going to wait for him to have a good game? You thought he was going to let him go in 16?
I don't know if he cares right now. He knows the team sucks. There's nothing he can do. Look at that team. Like, there's no one.
What did I say last week? Make John Fox the coach of the year.
There's no one out there.
He's calling a second-round pick and a third-round receiver as his number one receiver. Make him coach of the year because he wants to get fired.
Also, watching Clausen, he's afraid to make pass in the NFL. I mean, there's times I watch in their games where guys get open deep, and he sees them breaking open. He still waits.
Yeah.
Pump fake. And he'll throw when he gets picked off.
That's why he slipped out of the first round.
Yeah. He's not there at playing quarterback in this league.
What about Matt Stafford coming back? He'll be back in bye week, but back to Colt McCoy. His first game last week against the Steelers had the lead. Was it halfway through the third quarter? Yep, that's what we said.
3-0 until the second quarter, and the Steelers started blowing it open.
What do you like that you still have a
quarterback?
An undersized quarterback.
I hit a different quarter when the Steelers took their foot off the gas. He started making some plays. But they didn't really do anything. I mean, Hill's got about 19 points. They were pretty much dominated for the most part.
So right now you guys are rank Max Hall ahead of Jimmy Clausen and Colt
incomplete
McCoy.
Max
Hall?
Incomplete on Coy for it's Pittsburgh's defense and the quarterback. I mean, he did some decent things, you know. Game managed it in a way.
So
a tough defense to go against.
So the reason why I'm talking about this, there's a lot of Dynasty League owners out there. I'm in a competitive Dynasty League right now, fifth year in it actually. And I actually do have Jimmy Clausen as my fourth quarterback right now. I don't know if I'm going to cut him this year or not, but as a Dynasty League owner, which quarterback do you think has a better value long term? Excluding Sam Bradford, yeah.
You
guys got to get in these Dynasty Leagues. They're phenomenal.
Maybe Colt McCoy? No. Take that back. If Jimmy Clausen can understand...
He's going to get in the NFL. Yeah, they're going to let him set the rest of the
game. He has tools to play the NFL, but his decision-making, he looks so confused out there. Like, should I throw the ball? All those guys getting open. You know, you can't wait. It's not college. You can't wait until guys are open to throw it.
Wait for Jeff King or...
Exactly.
Space to get open.
Malcolm Floyd, you know. Guys... You know, are open very short in the NFL. So they get open, you gotta throw it. He's not really doing that. He's afraid to pull the trigger.
What about Max Hall? You think he's just a stopgap this year?
Or
a free agent in the offseason?
Or a draft of quarterback slot in the first round.
They're gonna try to mold him into something. They'll go after some old veteran like they did with Warner.
Also, if Charles is gonna throw a ball down the field, Max Hall, that's not really his game. I mean, I think if a Jake Locker or Ryan Mountain slide in like late teens, early 20s,
Colt McCoy will showcase his skills, and then Jake Delhomme will get cut and come to the
Cardinals.
Oh,
that's what they love, the Cleveland Brown quarterback. Like Brady Quinn right now.
Oh, man. We don't really talk about defense either. And, you know, I love Charles Woodson as NFL MVP, but if you guys watched him get roasted the last 3 to 4 weeks, I mean, he's getting beat deep. And I have to say right now, he might be one of the most overrated defensive players in the league.
He thinks he's a gambler. No, he's lost half a step.
More than half a step. I mean, he's getting roasted.
How did he lose half a step in a year?
I don't know.
He just signed that fat contract, too.
Yeah. And he's always on the injury list for that toe.
That's probably what I think more is. I think more of his toe isn't healthy. That's probably what I think it is. Also, their pass rush isn't consistent right now. Sometimes it gets there. And someone like him, he can't be out there all day covering guys.
Well, then Cannon went to Jacksonville, right?
Yeah.
I really think that.
He's starting the Zongo guy at one out the line.
John Jolly's at for lean. I really think that the Packers are in trouble, and it's all around the field, but Charles Woodson's not playing anywhere near like he did last year, and it's just showing. It is just showing. You guys don't have any other comments on Charles Woodson?
I think Mace is the toe. I mean, he's still a smart player, and also his blitzes. He's still a great blitzer. You can still do so much with him in your defense.
Don't they have other injuries, though? Like Al Harris?
Like, they're so banged up.
Barnett's out.
I think he's trying to make lobby plays, and you're gonna beat. You go for a gamble.
He had that interception against Detroit, didn't they?
He gets those.
Yeah, three sacks this year also.
This physicality is still good, but I'm telling you, when he's having to face these receivers, he just downfield he doesn't have it anymore. What's his age? 35.
Yeah, his career is definitely exhausting.
Well, he just signed a big contract. He's not 35.
He's up there. He's been in the league since, what, 96?
98.
Yeah, he's probably 33, 34. But, yeah, from defensive standpoint, we never really talk about surprising defenses. One out there, and I actually got him as my second defense, and I've been starting him a lot lately, the Tennessee Titans. They give you points. Sacks. Picks.
It was pass rush from that front four.
Yeah.
Really bad. Came out of nowhere, a bust, resurrecting his career, a ball the other day. They're getting pressure, guys.
Yeah. I've been starting the Ravens and getting nothing.
There's some defenses out on your waiver wire. You need to pick up one. The Tennessee's probably scooped up by now, but they're getting some good points. And you need the defenses to win your titles, I'm telling you. There's always those 5 to 10 point losses, and you look at your board, come from the defense.
Kickers and defense.
you get your consistent points from your receivers and running backs, but it's always at that bottom part. And the defense gets 30 points and yours gets 5. And then let's talk about Green Bay. I hear that they're getting sick of Brandon Jackson. James Starks, the rookie, was just activated. He was on the pup list for the first 6 weeks of the year, and they're saying that he might split carries with Brandon Jackson.
Why do they go with Brandon Jackson? Brandon Jackson sucks anyways.
He sucks anyways.
Yeah.
What's he done?
And Jabbar, former draft guru, I want to hear your take on James Starks, as you just had a good run down on him yesterday, but I do think he is someone to get off the waiver wire now while you can. Bury him on your bench and wait for the opportunity. But give us a breakdown on James Starks. You saw him.
Going to his senior year at Buffalo, he was like the reigning MAC Offensive Player of the Year. He helped lead them to that bowl game and got Turner Gill the Ken's job. But he's a big back, about 6'1", 6', about 220. Physical guy, all the tools you look for in a back. And he blew his knee going to his senior year, so he fell off everybody's draft board.
Sure got the denario of Alexander.
In a way, yeah. So they put him helpless. I don't know if he's fully recovered from that knee injury he had, but if healthy, he's a big physical. He's probably about the size of Charles Mendenhall. Mm-hmm. Similar tools, not as fast, but a big bruiser kind of guy who can get you, who, if healthy, could get them about 75, 80 yards rushing on the 18 carries.
They need something, because Aaron Rodgers is getting.
Yeah, and teams know what's wrong.
Green Bay will do it. Green Bay will do it. Remember when Ryan Grant came in halfway through the year? Then boom. He took over the starting job.
If he needs a good start.
They said, bye-bye, Amon Green. Bye-bye, Amon Green. So, James Starks.
Put his second round grade going with senior year. Yeah. For Mel Kiper. And then just fell off. Got hurt in camp.
This is, every year we see it, where the second half of the year is a back that comes out of nowhere. I mean, last year was Jerome Harrison and Jamal Charles.
There's only a couple of backs that come out of nowhere.
Yeah. I think we're going to see it again. And I really do like Tampa Bay, LeGarrette Blount, and then over here in Green Bay, James Starks. LeGarrette Blount, hey, Tampa Bay.
They have to stay away from Tampa Bay running backs.
Exactly.
It's like New England running backs.
Cadillac Williams, Ernest Graham.
You're going to get 15 carries that game.
Exactly.
You can't start them in a fantasy league.
It's not about their practice. We don't know who practice. We are going on that week.
And that's why I'm saying they're going to fade out Cadillac Williams and Ernest Graham.
He's hurt right now, isn't he?
He's questionable right now.
I don't know, they're getting carried all the time.
Yeah, he's questionable right now, but I think, and then they just lost the other guy this week. It was a third string guy.
Huggins?
Yeah, Green Muggins out for the year. So now with Garrett Blount, he was getting about 4 or 5 carries a game. I see those increasing a little bit, and I think he can showcase his skills over those
guys. He's like a Brandon Jacobs type back. Really big guy with speed.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be that fast being that big, but he is.
He's a guy definitely keep your eye on. Hopefully Tampa Bay does the right thing, because Josh Freeman might get killed by the end of the year if they don't.
Josh Freeman has been, he's having a much better year as far as turnovers go this year.
Yeah.
He only has 3 picks, so yeah, they got to keep him upright, though.
I think we might go into our pick segment if you guys don't have any other guy you want to profile or segment you want to talk about here. We're at the 40-minute mark.
We're right on air. Because you always bandwagon flip-flop on the hot teams.
No.
Always.
No.
Zach, so many flip-flop.
No. I'm sticking with my Denver Broncos picking, and after this week, we'll go with our midseason grades.
Okay.
Our divisional.
So next picks. Week, we're going to do it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going with the Chargers, too, on that.
Yeah, the Chargers have proven it. They should win it, but I'm just making the pick of Denver. I just see it happening. But I guess we'll go to our pick segment for our starters and bench. Last week, once again, we gave you some solid picks. I think we were both 2-1 again last week, right? Yeah. On air. So we'll go ahead and go into it. I hope you guys liked my Miami pick last week because I'm going with them again. Miami Dolphins +3 against Pittsburgh. And then Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know
what
that
one is. Dan Reno coming back?
Yeah, I need
Clayton and Duper?
Yeah, I just like the points there. You know, one thing about Pittsburgh.
3 points.
Yeah, I like the points. They're going to either cover or they're going to win the game. This is what I say about this game. Ben Roethlisberger got a lot of wins. He always gets a lot of wins, but they're always tight games. Remember last year and years past. Did okay last week, but Cleveland, if they would have managed the game better, if it wasn't a Colt McCoy, they could have been up 13-0 and put some real pressure on Pittsburgh. I think Miami can do it. They have a solid ball control style of play. They don't make too many mistakes. And their defense is playing real well right now. So I think they're going to mesh well against Pittsburgh. It's going to be a low-scoring game. And Miami's going to eke it out in the fourth quarter with Ben Roethlisberger's early season rust. That's my first pick there. Another pick, another +3, Minnesota against Green Bay. Green Bay is just too banged up right now. They've gotten away with some sloppy wins, and then the past couple of weeks, overtime losses. We have two back-to-back overtime losses that just demoralizes the team. Minnesota's on the come up. They're getting healthy. AP is going to storm over Green Bay's rush attack, and he's going to have a big game. Brett Favre should spread the ball well and do what he does. And my other pick, you know, I haven't had an over-under, but I saw it was over, and I circled it over on Philly, Tennessee, 42.5. Tennessee does have a pretty good defense. That's why it's a little bit lower in the 40-point tier. But I think both these teams are going to put up some points, and it's going to be an explosive affair. Might be at the 48-point mark or something like that. So those are my three picks. Real quick picks for me, but I will post my picks Thursday night like I always do. Haven't had a week below 500 yet, Zach Simony. So make sure you're checking out my picks. I'm going to give you above 500 once again for the seventh straight week. Let's hear your picks, guys.
All right, like the Niners at 3 over Carolina. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's obvious. I'm not
going to start that one. I'm going to go with Jabbar. If you're a little broke right now, he's some guaranteed money.
No,
that's it right there.
Guarantee, huh? Yeah. Matt Moore than waiting and waiting to get out there. Steve yeah. Smith.
He's more than waiting for the loss of the Niners. And then I like in a bit of an upset. Dallas over the Giants.
Oof.
Dallas...
Jabari
last week. Big loss last week. At home, Eli Manning doesn't play that good. Gets Dallas at home. I mean, he's been sacked.
Just like the 1-4 teams getting going 2-4, don't you?
Yeah.
You still loving the ESPN Dallas Cowboy, huh?
No, I actually don't like Cowboys at all, but I feel Eli Manning. I just don't like Eli Manning consistently every week.
One thing about Eli Manning is he plays well against the Cowboys. I mean, his last five or six times.
Well, I just said he didn't. He's throwing 12 picks against them.
No. I've seen it. They've been on prime time the last three or four times.
They're throwing picks, too.
Ooh, I think we're going to have
No, I remember the game, especially, you know,
I want stats for next week's show.
Yeah. Well, I'll pull them up. Remember the 07 year when they went to Super Bowl? They beat them in the playoffs, and they beat them towards the end of the season. Better run almost
20 career touchdowns for 12 picks for Dallas.
Whoa! What are you talking about?
That's not bad, but
Romo. Oh, hurry, that stat boy. Pulling that up.
In those games.
Sacked 27 times.
Yeah, in those games, though, Romo's had some of his worst games, too.
Romo had a great single quarter.
Actually, the year before, that he threw, like, 2 pick-6s against the Giants.
That's how the game was with Eli Manning, though.
Exactly, but he threw 2 pick-6s against the Giants.
All right, next pick. Get off. I hate talking about those
Dallas Cowboys. Oh, you only have two, right?
I got Cincinnati over Atlanta. Atlanta showed me nothing last week. I mean, I was starting to drink that Kool-Aid.
21-0.
Yeah, I started to drink that Atlanta Kool-Aid, then I realized it tasted like crap. I was putting it out of my mouth. And Cincinnati's coming off a bye week. Oh, no. Big things.
Dolphins.
Oh, no. Because Pumper might be benched by halftime. I don't even know who they're playing in.
Which one? Quarterback. They're benching his brother in?
No. One thing about this week. I've been waiting for a week like this. I wish I was in Vegas. This is one of the best weeks I've seen for Lions. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to guarantee I have some good picks posted on that Thursday night. Joe, what do you got?
I like Zach's Denver Broncos minus 9. It's a big number against Oakland, but they're at home. Oakland has no form of a quarterback. Gronkowski out. Campbell out. He may play. I'm looking at Kyle Boulder.
Yeah.
Okay, Kyle, exactly. I think that the dig and dump's going to work against Oakland. I like...
We're saying that the Broncos are going to be tied with the Chiefs for 3 wins here after the Chargers lose the Patriots.
That's fine. I like Arizona as my upset pick at 5.5, like we said earlier, against Seattle. They always play each other close. It's a division game. Arizona's coming off a bye week. I think they're going to be rested with their weapons back. And my... third pick, I want to say Chargers minus 3 against New England. I'm going to stay away from that because it's too close and they don't have any receivers. I'm going to go Tennessee minus 3 against Philadelphia. I just like Chris Johnson at home for some reason to have a breakout game, please.
Yeah. Do you like the over in that game?
Oh, I love the over in that game. Many. I like it, but
I like the game also. I mean, Philly's run D has been special. Terrain looking good against them to watch that not run the ball anymore.
And Kerry Collins will probably have to play, and you know he's either going to throw those deep balls or he's going to throw picks for touchdowns.
I mean, Tennessee's a really good team. I think they're on the cusp of becoming a powerhouse in that division. Maybe even take it this year. So I like them minus 3 against the overhyped Eagles.
Okay, there you go. Hopefully we give you great solid picks again. Remember, those aren't our top plays. They're just games that we like. And then if these guys ever start writing articles, you might see some of their content on Not Just a Game. But you can always go and see Zach Simmons.
He doesn't want to sign.
Hey, what are you guys going to get an article up?
Well, let's go through you first like a dictatorship. You can't just post it on your ass.
That's right, but you guys can get something submitted. You guys, you know what? I want you guys, the listeners, to email us. Which weekly column would you like to see Jabbar Harris write, and what weekly column do you want to see Joe write? You've heard what they talk about. What do you want to see up? Force them to have a deadline.
Soon as the money starts raining, then I'm all right.
Hey, when that comes to that point, I'm going to be
raking it in.
Hey, hit me about draft prospects. Let me know. I'll write about that all day.
I love baseball, too.
All right. We're going to go ahead and end the show with our 5-minute segment on fantasy starters and bench players. Once again, as we always state, these aren't obvious. They're out of the ordinary. Guys that you probably wouldn't even start if you had the choice.
Right, so Jabbar, please don't say Peyton Manning again.
But we'll be
saying I'm just saying, these are out of the ordinary picks.
Yep, and don't forget about that David Garrard. Oh, man. Well, he's on my bench this week, but I'm not going to start off. He's on my bench, of course. I've always said start him once, and then Jabbar said it, so he's been on the show a lot. The week after
you guys
the
love fat David Garrard.
No.
Just
budgy. I mean, for a guy that's 25th in the league as a quarterback, I mean, owners have gotten a little bit. Probably for a 4th or 5th tier quarterback, owners played the best out of his group. So give him credit.
You like Sean Hill?
Sean Hill, he's played decent, but he's thrown a lot of picks. So, and then Joe hasn't let off a segment, so Joe, go ahead and run off your starting quarterbacks.
Okay, I'm going to go with Joe Flacco as my top pick. He's playing Buffalo, who's awful against pass defense and defense for that matter. All week long, Flacco's in the media somewhat complaining about offense being too conservative, why they lost to the Patriots. The receivers are starting to chirp a little bit. I think they're going to take the reins off them. My other quarterback I think I would start is Matt Castle against Jacksonville, who you guys all saw coming off a short week this week. Was awful against Tennessee. I think Matt Castle is going to be a good pick. He's got 3 opponents coming up. Who's Kansas City playing coming up?
Kansas City. Yeah, Matt Castle. Oof.
I'd take Matt Castle and put him on the bench at least for the next 3 weeks. He should have big numbers. And if you have Dwayne Bowe.
Wait, Jacksonville, Buffalo, and Oakland.
Straight high now.
Yeah, I actually
wrote an article about Dwayne Bowe.
Yep.
I wrote an article about Dwayne Bowe saying that this is, posted it today actually. Any value you think of this guy, you gotta sell him now because Matt Castle is averaging 6.2 yards a completion. Throwing the ball 22 completions a game, 6.2
yards. Sell him now or sell him after next week.
That's not good.
It's surprising he has a starting job right now. But just the way that they try to handcuff Castle and the run game they've got so great right now. Just the matchups present themselves right now for Dwayne Bowe. But pretty much what you saw last week is going to be the highest point total you can get from a fantasy standpoint. Where
you want to go with the sit guys now, too, or no?
20. No, we'll run our starters. All right. Go ahead, your starting quarterbacks.
All right. I second that Matt Castle plays a bad team. But also, I'm going to go with Phil Rivers coming off his worst game of the season. 77.4 QBR. Going to Newman, you wouldn't think
that. Phil Rivers is a top 4 quarterback.
He's on a bye, to go with Rivers.
But coming off his worst game of the year, I figured I'd bounce that game. That's why I'm going with him.
Yeah.
You were saying stick with him.
Stick with him, Zach. Going for that. Let's read that. And also, Alex Smith, I guess, he played decent, so...
Really?
I usually hate the guy, so I'm giving him a little bit of love. Points Carolina, so it's not really...
And the coordinator's giving him a little bit more free reign, which is helping him, I think.
Yeah, new coordinator's helping out.
All right, finally, Jabbar, think outside the box. Zach, go ahead.
Yep, my guys are the middle-tier fantasy quarterbacks I'm going to talk here, starters. Eli Manning, love the matchup against the Cowboys. Obviously, the Cowboys are going to try to light it up and showcase on Monday Night Football
next week.
Eli Manning, I don't see the Cowboys stopping those receivers. They're going to throw all over. Amon Bradshaw's going to get some running going on. And right now, Eli Manning is probably right there at the top 10, 12 quarterbacks in the league. So in your deep leagues, he's going to start anyways. But I say you put him out there this week. He'll finish with top 8 fantasy quarterback numbers this week. Another guy's Donovan McNabb. He's been hot and cold every other week, and obviously he was cold last week. So
it was awful last week.
I'm expecting him
to be hot and cold.
Yeah, I think he's going to do well this week. He's got a solid matchup
going against
the Bears. The Bears have been giving up yards, and honestly, they've got something going with Ryan Terrain as their running back. They just need to get something going with their receivers. Hopefully, the trade deadline just passed, so they're going to have to find something in there.
Yeah, hopefully, Joey Galloway catches a few form runs back.
Yeah. He was a few years off that age, yeah.
So, there's my two stars there. My bench, I'll go ahead and do that real quick. I got David Garrard, obviously. He might not even play this week, but...
Who even have him starting? I thought this was supposed to be...
Exactly, it's not obvious.
Yeah,
it's not obvious, so if you're even thinking about it, don't do it. David Garrard, and then Kyle Orton this week.
There you go. That's a better one.
Everyone's talking about him so much. So, Kyle Orton, 300 yards passing every week, except last week was a little bit below it, but he can't keep up that pace. Even though he has a kind of good matchup against Oakland, he might get the yards, and the touchdowns won't be there, so sit him. I need to look at that spread. I actually think Oakland might cover, even though they're probably heavy underdogs.
I just said Denver's going to win by 9.
Ooh. Also, I think he needs to
cover.
City quarterbacks. I've been disagreeing with Zach. I think you have to sit Eli Manning this week. It's Dallas. Been inconsistent all year. He's only really had 2 big games this year.
We put a bet on this. Finally,
between the Jay Cutler and David Garrard picks, when I got laughs. Laughs.
Lucky. That's all. That's straight luck. He's like, Eli Manning's been consistent all year. I mean, he has Nicks and Smith.
Let me pull up Eli Manning right now.
He's only had about 2 of the games. I mean...
And they've been running the ball and winning them.
Well, his game was good even against Carolina.
His worst game was against Tennessee, and it's been long.
Yeah, Colts game.
So, 250 yards a game.
Yeah, but...
10 touchdowns.
How many picks?
8. And he had most of them against Tennessee.
So what, did you stick that game? No, he did. He spread out his picks every week.
Yeah.
Look at his yards the last 4 games. How many games there? About half of them. That's how he plays. Inconsistent. And he's on the big stage. So he's Dallas. We've got to win eventually.
Fun time game.
I mean, I figured to sit him this week. He's not going to give you good numbers. He shows his Dallas. He's been sacked 27 times in his career.
I'm glad I'm out Monday night. We might be doing the broadcast live.
And then also we'll sit Chad Henne against Pittsburgh's defense. I think the Steelers are going to dominate the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to run against them. Walker's not going to work. Chad Henne, you see that Newman game? It's going to be similar to that, I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, Newman can disguise their defense so well. Pittsburgh's the same way. Plus, Pittsburgh hits harder.
Yep.
So he's gonna tap out about third quarter. How would you judge?
My quarterbacks to bench are Jay Cutler, for obvious reasons. If you watch any bit of highlights on the Bears, offensive line plays horrendous. I can't pick up blitz or pass rushing. And they do not run the ball. Mike March isn't making any moves to adjust that. And then I'm going to have to say, I'd bench Kevin Cobb this week if you have a better option. Tennessee's got a really strong D, like we've been saying, and he's going to be without Deshaun Jackson. His number two target is going to be Jason Avant.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I mean, but they're going to score points somehow.
But yes, I just don't see him. I don't see him having a big, big week like he did last week.
Yeah.
Especially with Vic coming back. That's going to be easier for Andy Reid to pull trigger with Vic, so I'd bench those two.
Plus, they're not going to throw big enough for some situational plays.
Right. Game.
What about your running back starters?
For me, I'm liking Peyton Hillis this week. I mean, he got 9 points against Pittsburgh, and that's a great defense. To be on Cleveland Browns, get 9 points against Cleveland, against Pittsburgh, and they know that's the running game, mm-hmm. It's not bad for a guy who was drafted as a fullback. And, I mean, I expect him to get about 15, 16 points this week. And then, Frank Gore against Carolina. 26th ranked run D, Carolina. No elite defensive player besides Beeson. I mean, he's going to do so much.
I'm waiting for Zach to say, I thought these are supposed to be our
receivers. Frank Gore, I mean, you're going to start him no matter what if he's playing.
Not every week. I mean, he's had a Niners team. That's so bumpy this year.
Yeah. My two guys, like D'Angelo Williams this week. I think Matt Moore will bring a little bit more to that passing game. Open it up a little bit. D'Angelo Williams would held in check all season long. So get him out there. He'll break it out. And then my other guy, Danny Woodhead, going against San Diego.
It's because Zach read the SI article, the Yahoo article, and the NFL.com article. So you're just copying
No, actually, I'm just watching football. But it's the same thing that's going on with all the New England Patriots guys. They spread it out. Danny Woodhead has that third down role. They kind of got him out there more on Ben Roberts Green Ellis' plays right now.
He's going to get you about 7 points, though.
I mean, if you have him in a point per reception league, too,
yeah,
he's going to get six or seven receptions.
Yeah, so he'll double that up with his yardage, and then if you get a touchdown out of him, it's a bonus. But if you're real thin at running back, like we said, there's you got LT on bye week, Sean Green on bye week, Arian Foster on bye week, Joey Adai, obviously he's banged up. And you got Javon Best on a bye week, so it could be a thin week for you. And there's a lot of guys that are just listening to fantasy sports shows right now that are squandering to see who they can start, and might have to start Woodhead. Why not this week?
My running backs to start are Ahmad Bradshaw. I hope you didn't listen to Zach a couple weeks ago and trade him.
Trade him high.
Because Ahmad Bradshaw had nothing less than 89 yards from scrimmage each game this year.
Yeah, so you can trade him high.
Nothing less.
Great advantage.
I think he's going to have a good game against Dallas. I also like Sean Marino coming back. He played against the Jets last week. He had 12 carries, 48 yards. He got Oakland this week. I think they're going to have more in the offense. My sleeper picks is Tim Hightower, who's going to get you some receiving yards. He's got the receiving ability out of the backfield because Wells is going to get shut down by Seattle Grundy. And then Willis McGahee with a couple, maybe one or two cheap garbage touchdowns late against his former team. The Jets had two guys go over 100 yards. I think the Ravens are going to have a big lead, and they're going to get a backdoor touchdown against his old team.
My bench running back guys, Ryan Matthews, continue to sit him on the bench. Chargers don't know what they're doing with him, just like Buffalo with Spiller. Then Matt Forte, the Bears, you're going to have Bears player at some point.
Of course
it
is.
I had Matt Forte last week. He didn't do much.
What's he done since week one?
He's been getting receiving yards.
See, he can kill him. I started him.
But I'm saying that this week he's going to be
points a week.
Washington.
He starts with Johnny Knox, Devin Hester, Greg
Washington defense has done a great job shutting down. I mean, they didn't shut down Peyton Manning, but they did a good job against him. They shut down Aaron Rodgers. They shut down Tony Romo. I mean, they've shut down some elite fantasy quarterbacks, and then they get Cutler this week, so that just spells trouble right there.
And Mark doesn't run the football.
Yeah. So they're going to have some big time trouble. Jabbar?
I think he should bench Shady McCoy from Philly. Tennessee's defense is right now number one in fantasy football points. And like Joe said earlier, that they're just relentless, and the D-line's just great right now. Yeah. That'd just be a rough day for Philly. I really think so. Losing that deep threat to Sean Jackson.
I think they're gonna. They allow Tennessee to stack the box with more to stop the run and run downs. And also Ryan Terrain, Chicago Spur against the run. I mean, he got 100 yards against Indy.
He's banged up too, though. Yeah, that's what I heard.
What power back doesn't get 100 yards against Indy? Their things of speed. Chicago, that big front seven, should rein him in a little more.
My two guys that said Felix Jones against the Giants. The Giants have shut down Forte, Javid Best, and Arian Foster the last couple weeks. Zach hit Arian Foster 2 weeks ago on the sit-down segment of our show. I don't think he's going to have a big game. And I also said, like I said, being Wells, I'd sit him if I had him because Seattle's got a very stout run defense and they're going to shut him down. So.
All right, you want to do your receiver starters?
My receiver starters, I'm going to go with Michael Crabtree against Carolina. Finally, like myself, you guys out there have Crabtree got us some points.
Last week's been pretty good.
Yeah, I finally got a TD. A
coordinator.
I'd start him, and I'm going to go with what everyone else is liking, but Patrick Creighton against New England. He had 6 receptions for 117 yards last week. Floyd's out. Nene's hurt. He's not going to play. Gates is hurt. I think Creighton's going to get at least maybe 80 yards and a touchdown, so. Get him on your waiver wire.
Go ahead, Jabron.
I pick up, if he still should probably be available. This guy, Danero Alexander, has been with most leagues. The Rams don't have any more options. I mean, who's Brett going to throw to?
We got Gilliard and
young guys. Alexander's about 6'4", with 4'4 speed, and he had 13 points last week. And then also, I like Crabtree as well. Also, I'm going to go with Chad Ochocinco coming off the bye week. He's been, after week one, he's had a bad year.
Yeah.
He's been admitted saying, you know, I've been struggling this year, and I'm getting on the same page with my quarterback.
Bye
week with him and Carson, hopefully get some things straight. I expect a big week out of him.
Okay. I actually got three receivers this week. I like Kenny Britt. When Kerry Collins starts, he likes to hit that guy. And even Vince Young's had success with him this year. So going against Philadelphia, like I said, that's going to be a high-scoring game. Over 42.5. So Kenny Britt's probably going to have 100 yards and a touchdown and break that top 20 threshold this week. And the guy that, you know, Granny Moss has been getting the attention for Minnesota, but Percy Harvin's really been, getting out of those migraines, and he's been playing great. I mean, last week he didn't do much receiving, but he found a way to do it with his special teams. I think this week he gets back involved. Brett Favre didn't throw the ball that much last week, but I think it's Green Bay. They will. And Percy Harvin will get some spotlight points for you. He could have special teams. He could give you double dips there. Maybe 20 fantasy points could be a breakout game for him. And then we talked about it already with Dwayne Bowe. Next couple weeks is about all the value you're going to get out of him. Playing against Jacksonville, he should put up some points similar to what he did last week, 80 yards, maybe a touchdown. I don't expect two, but maybe one.
For me, I know after Moss was traded from New England, all the Eastman experts were high on Brennan Tate being that vertical stretch receiver.
Yeah.
After the trade for Deion Branch, he's not going to get anything. I mean, he might have won a game later in the year, but he's just a special team guy really right now.
We said that, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, not reliable. He's not going to get any catches, so don't play him. Don't read the hype of, Brandon Tate, the deep threat. Don't use him. Don't stay away from that. And Donald Driver, he's had one good game versus Detroit. He's battling a bit of a quad injury.
He's been banged up, so.
Yeah, that's exactly why. He's been banged up. He's been a solid veteran his whole career. Solid possession guy. But he's banged up, so stay away from him.
I had Donald Driver, too. That injury is really going to hamper him. I'm going to say, sit Brandon Marshall against Pittsburgh. I don't trust Henny against them. And then I also have Miles Austin written down here. He hasn't been doing anything lately. They've been targeting Roy Williams a lot more in the red zone for whatever reason. We don't know. Against the Giants defense, I don't know if Miles Austin's going to get down on Monday night.
Miles Austin's been so consistent as well. Pretty much every other game for him. He had a great game where he did you 18, 19 points. He comes back next week with, like, two or three.
I guess we should have thrown Des Bryant on our starters list because they got Roy Williams on my bench. He got Roy Williams on my bench. He's been getting touchdowns, like, three weeks in a row now. He hasn't had any yardage. I mean, I think last week when he had one touchdown, like, 20 yards and 9 fantasy points. The week before that, like, 30 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns. So they're finding him. I don't know where Jason Witten's disappeared to, but they're finding Roy Williams like a tight end right now.
I still think the Cowboys don't know what they are. don't know if they're a passing team or a vertical passing game, short passing game, or a running team.
There's so many weapons.
Defenses are keying in on Jason Witten and Miles Austin in the red zone, so it's freeing up Roy Williams, who's a tall target, and he can get open. So
if he's one on one, he can get open.
I'd say sit him this week. And then another guy has been putting up some big numbers, Lance Moore of the Saints. Been going deep on teams. Cleveland, even though their record doesn't show it, their defense has been playing pretty good, especially the secondary. I think this, if anyone's going to spark this week, Marcus Colson, who hasn't been seen it yet. So,
is he still in football?
No card in box.
Yeah, so Lance Moore, like I say, you got to play the laws of averages. He's been playing out of his mind. He's not going to be a Pro Bowler, so he'll dip down this week and offset his past couple of weeks. That just about ends it. This is the longest episode yet, maybe. 65-minute mark right now. We're watching the eighth inning of baseball. What do you guys think is going to happen with baseball?
Giants Rangers, like I said, we're in Vegas.
Phillies Yankees.
Phillies Yankees. We might be betting on that series. Is that going to be? It'll probably be over by then. Yeah, it'll be over.
Real quick, what about the tight ends? What would you pick up this week?
Tight ends, like I just mentioned one guy, Fred Davis. I really think...
I know Ben Watson. He's number five. He's been a number five tight end the last 5 weeks. He's in top 10. McCoy really likes him, and all their wide receivers are hurt.
Yeah.
Then I look at Todd Heap if he's healthy from that concussion against Buffalo. Buffalo is the number one defense allowing points for tight ends.
Yeah, if you're lucky, see Tony Malky's out there from Kansas City. I don't know if he's still in the team he catches, but he's not second behind Bo.
Yeah, so that's a nice matchup this week against Jackson.
So it might be last week. He might be out there. Go check.
Yeah, the tight ends, there's so many good options nowadays at tight end that you can pretty much pick up anybody. There's a guy, I just want to see the stats on that, but the Cardinals, you got Maxwell Dink and Dumpin', Ben Patrick. He could be a super, super sleeper, deep sleeper. 5 catches a couple weeks ago against the Saints, and you know that Maxwell doesn't have a strong runner.
Like you probably said, if you got a rookie quarterback, then what's the guy in front of you, the tight end, when you're looking downfield?
Yeah.
The safe
time. When you see that blitz coming, you're trying to get rid of it.
And that is astonishing. All Max Hall threw to that game. 7 to Fitzgerald, 5 to Ben Patrick, 1 to these other guys. No names.
He's another name, that's why.
But yeah, I really do like Ben Patrick. I don't know why the Cardinals have never utilized their tight ends, but we'll see what
happens. Especially came coming out of Pittsburgh with Nate Miller.
Yeah. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, but. That's how we're going to end it, guys. We hope you enjoyed the show. Once again, email us, notjustagame23@gmail.com. We're going to keep doing these podcasts, and we hope that you love it. So we're going to sign off. Have a good night.
See you guys next week.
Adios.
Deuces.